Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
The resumption of hostilities in Gaza is catastrophic. We urge all parties and states with influence over them to redouble efforts immediately to ensure a ceasefire on humanitarian and human rights grounds. Recent comments by Israeli political and military leaders indicating that they are planning to expand and intensify the military offensive are very troubling.
At least 70 Palestinians have been killed as Israel resumes its bombardment of Gaza after a week-long truce expired. We'll look at a stunning new report in the Israeli press about how Israel's loosened its rules about killing civilians while developing what's been described as a mass assassination factory.
It tried to explain why so many civilians are being killed in Gaza, most of them women and children. And part of the reason is, according to these sources, is the increasing use of AI, artificial intelligence programs, to accelerate the creation of targets at a faster rate than Israel is able to strike.
Then we speak to the mother of Hisham Artani, the Palestinian student at Brown University shot in Burlington, Vermont, with his two best friends, two other Palestinian students. And we talked to human rights attorney and war crimes prosecutor Reed Brody about the death of Henry Kissinger, who escaped justice for decades. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Dozens of Palestinians have been killed after Israel resumed its bombardment of Gaza, ending a week-long pause to facilitate the exchange of captives. Hamas responded by firing a salvo of rockets towards southern Israel. The UN says the resumption of violence puts thousands of innocent lives at risk. Since the October 7th Hamas attack, the Israeli bombardment has killed over 15,000 Palestinians, including 6,100 children. Israel's expanded its military campaign to target southern areas of Gaza, where Israeli planes have been dropping leaflets warning people to evacuate areas around Khan Yunis, warning the city was now a dangerous battle zone. Israel previously expelled hundreds of thousands of people from the northern Gaza Strip to the south. Just hours before the truce expired, residents of Khan Yunis searched through the rubble of their former homes for any personal items they could salvage.
The end of the calm today feels like our execution. They are telling us that today is the last day of the ceasefire, and we have 24 hours before we return to a life of sheltering in schools in squalor, with the hardship of life without water, electricity, or proper shelter. We want a complete truce, not being told every day there is a truce only to have it breached.
Israel's renewed assault on Gaza came after Israel and Hamas completed a seventh exchange of captives. On Thursday, 8 Israelis held by Hamas were released, while 30 Palestinians were freed from Israeli jails. Israel's government says it believes Hamas still holds 137 hostages kidnapped during the October 7th attacks. Newly freed Palestinians report suffering torture and sexual assault. This is Bara Abu Ramuz, a Palestinian journalist who spoke after his release from an Israeli jail Thursday.
The situation in the prisons is devastating. The prisoners are abused. They're being constantly beaten. They're being sexually assaulted. They're being raped. I'm not exaggerating. The prisoners are being raped.
Earlier this week, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an investigation into reports of sexual violence committed by Hamas on October 7th. Israeli government officials knew Hamas was planning a large-scale attack on Israel more than a year ago, but failed to respond to specific warnings about the plot after dismissing it as aspirational. That's according to an explosive report in the New York Times, which says Israeli officials intercepted a 40-page battle plan by Hamas detailing how its attack would play out, a blueprint Hamas closely followed October 7th. Meanwhile, another explosive new report by Plus 972 magazine details how Israel is using artificial intelligence to draw up targets in Gaza and how Israel's loosened its constraints on attacks likely to kill civilians. One former intelligence officer described the plan as a, quote, mass assassination factory. After headlines, we'll go to Jerusalem to speak with the Israeli investigative reporter Yuval Abraham, who broke the story. In Arizona, 26 people were arrested Thursday as protesters peacefully blockaded a Raytheon manufacturing hub in Tucson, demanding an end to U.S. arms transfers to Israel. One protester said, quote, we're outraged that more than 15,000 Palestinians have been killed while companies like Raytheon continue to fill their coffers with blood money, unquote. Among those arrested was journalist Alyssa Resnick of public radio station KJZZ. She was arrested by Pima County Sheriff's deputies even as she carried recording equipment and repeatedly identified herself as press. MSNBC is facing a torrent of backlash after announcing it's canceling the Mehdi Hassan show. The British-born journalist is known for holding powerful figures to account and is one of the most powerful Muslim voices on American television. Following the news, Congressmember Ilhan Omar said, quote, it's deeply troubling that MSNBC is canceling his show amidst a rampant rise of anti-Muslim bigotry and suppression of Muslim voices, she said. Journalist Ryan Grimm said, quote, Mehdi's style of confrontational interviews in which he doesn't let public figures get away with lies or half-true talking points turned him into a celebrated journalist in the UK. His show's cancellation is such a pathetic indictment of the U.S. media, Grimm said. Mehdi Hassan's show has been welcomed as one of the few on mainstream networks to question Israel's narrative over its attacks on Gaza. Earlier last month, Hassan interviewed Mark Regev, a senior advisor to Prime Minister Netanyahu.
I have seen lots of children with my own lying eyes being pulled from the rubble.
Because they're the pictures Hamas wants you to see. Exactly my point,
Mehdi.
They're the pictures Hamas wants.
There are also people that your government has killed. You accept that, right? You've killed children, or do you deny that?
No, I do not. I do not. I do not. First of all, you don't know how those people died, those children.
Oh, wow.
Russia's Supreme Court has banned LGBTQ plus activism in a landmark decision Amnesty International blasted as shameful and absurd. The ruling, which asserts the so-called international LGBTQ movement is extremist, threatens to further endanger already persecuted communities. This is transgender activist Ada Blackwell.
I escaped from a conversion camp just over half a year ago. I was kidnapped. They tried to cure me for a year. They tried to convince me that I was not a transgender woman. They failed. De facto, after the adoption of this lawsuit, I will not be able to talk about conversion therapy. It will be forbidden for me because it will be associated with the LGBT topic. I will not be able to help a large number of people. All trans activists, many queer activists, have already left Russia. I am one of the last, apparently, who have remained in Russia. What to do next? The only option I know is to leave.
The World Meteorological Organization reports 2023 is virtually certain to become the hottest year on record, warning of worsening wildfires, floods, ice melt, heat waves, and other extreme weather events. Since the start of the year, the average global surface temperature is up about 1.4 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, or about 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit. That's just a tenth of a degree below the target limit of 1.5 degrees set by the Paris Climate Accord in 2015. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres announced the findings Thursday as the UN's COP28 climate summit got underway in Dubai.
We are living through climate collapse in real time, and the impact is devastating. We have the roadmap to limit the rise in global temperature to 1.5 degrees Celsius and avoid the worst of climate chaos. But we need leaders to fire the starting gun at COP28 on a race to keep the 1.5 degree limit alive.
Tune into Democracy Now! All next week when we'll be broadcasting from the COP28 UN Climate Summit in Dubai. The White House has confirmed President Biden will not attend the COP28 summit this year, but that Vice President Kamala Harris will be in attendance. This week, the Biden administration launched an auction to sell $3.4 million in oil and gas drilling leases. It's just the first in a series of auctions that'll take place as COP28 unfolds. Over the next 2 weeks, the Interior Department will sell off land exploitation rights in Wyoming, New Mexico, Nevada, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Utah. This comes as data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration show the Biden administration surpassed the Trump administration in crude oil production, bringing U.S. production higher than at any other time in history. The Center for Biological Diversity warns Biden's fossil fuel projects, quote, threaten to erase the climate emissions progress from the Inflation Reduction Act. The House of Representatives voting today over whether to expel New York Congressmember George Santos, who repeatedly lied about his professional experience, his background, and likely committed multiple violations of campaign finance rules. Santos painted himself as a victim of a smear campaign, refused to resign as he addressed lawmakers Thursday as they debated his future.
When this vote is on the floor, it is in the conscience of all of my colleagues that they believe that this is the correct thing to do. So be it. Take the vote. I'm at peace.
If ousted, Congressmember George Santos will become just the sixth member of the House ever to be removed by fellow lawmakers. And in California, animal rights activist and attorney Wayne Chung has been sentenced to 90 days in jail after he was found guilty of felony conspiracy and misdemeanor trespassing for rescuing dozens of injured and dying ducks and chickens at two factory farms in Sonoma County, California. The charges stem from peaceful actions at Sunrise Farms and Reichert Duck Farm. Murray Holden, a member of Wayne Chung's legal team, spoke outside the Sonoma County courthouse after Thursday's sentencing.
I believe that this trial will end up in the book of animal liberation when that book is written. I'm tremendously grateful to Wayne for the sacrifice that he has made, the injustice of the fact that a human being is being held in a cage for the supposed crime of compassion for rescuing other sentient, feeling beings from cages will not be lost on the world.
Wayne Chung is the co-founder of Direct Action Everywhere, a global network of animal rights defenders. To see our interviews with him, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's resumed airstrikes on Gaza after a week-long truce ended. The strikes have reportedly killed at least 70 Palestinians. Israel's dropping leaflets ordering Palestinians in Khan Yunis, the largest city in southern Gaza, to head further south toward Rafah. Since the October 7th Hamas attack, the Israeli bombardment has killed over 15,000 Palestinians, including 6,100 children. The Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has described the resumption of attacks as very troubling.
The resumption of hostilities in Gaza is catastrophic. We urge all parties and states with influence over them to redouble efforts immediately to ensure a ceasefire on humanitarian and human rights grounds. Recent comments by Israeli political and military leaders indicating that they are planning to expand and intensify the military offensive are very troubling.
Talks are reportedly continuing for a new truce and the release of more captives. Israel says it believes Hamas still holds 137 hostages kidnapped during the October 7th attacks. We turn now to look at a stunning new expose on how Israel's using artificial intelligence to draw up targets and how Israel's loosened its constraints on attacks that could kill civilians. One former intelligence officer says Israel's developed a, quote, mass assassination factory. In one case, sources said the Israeli military approved an assassination strike on a single Hamas commander, despite knowing the strike could kill hundreds of Palestinian civilians. Another source told 972 magazine, quote, nothing happens by accident. When a three-year-old girl is killed in a home in Gaza, it's because someone in the army decided it wasn't a big deal for her to be killed, that it was a price worth paying in order to hit another target. Everything is intentional. We know exactly how much collateral damage there is in every move, unquote. 972 also reports the Israeli military knowingly attacked civilian targets, including apartment complexes, universities, and banks, in an effort to exert, quote, civil pressure on Hamas. We're joined in Jerusalem by the Israeli investigative reporter Yuval Abraham. His latest report for 972 magazine and Local Call is headlined, A Mass Assassination Factory Inside Israel's Calculated Bombing of Gaza. Yuval, thanks for joining us again from Jerusalem. If you can talk about who your sources are and what exactly they're using, the Israeli military is using AI for. Explain this idea of a mass assassination factory.
Sure, yeah. So I'll start by saying, Amy, that you know, there are some things that I can say and other things that I cannot say. You know, we as Israeli journalists are subjected to the military censor. So everything that I have published had to be vetted by the military. So my knowledge is partial. So I've spoken to seven Israeli intelligence officers, some of them current, some of them former intelligence officers. All of them took part in wars against Gaza, in bombing campaigns, whether right now or in 2021, 2022, and 2014. And the use of artificial intelligence is an increasing trend that the army is adopting to mark targets in Gaza. And I think a good year to look at to understand its beginning with relation to Gaza is 2019, when the chief of staff, Aviv Kochavi, introduced this new division in the military called the Targets Division. And its idea was to bring together hundreds of soldiers and basically start to develop these AI algorithms and automated software to accelerate the target creation for strikes with life and death consequences in Gaza. And you know, a source that actually took part in this division center said that they were being judged not by the quality of the targets that they were producing, but by the quantity. That the idea here was that if you want to create a certain shock effect, if you are fighting against a guerrilla group like Hezbollah in Lebanon and or Hamas in Gaza, this is the source saying, then, sorry, can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly.
Yeah, sorry, I just, somebody said something, so I thought, should I repeat something?
No, go ahead. Keep going with what you're saying, Yuval.
All right, so the source said that this shock effect is the way Israel views its war tactic against these organizations, and part of that is trying to accelerate the creation of targets. Now, in 2014, which was the previous biggest Israeli assault on Gaza, according to sources that I've spoken with, the Israeli military ran out of targets after roughly 3 weeks. And that operation lasted for 50 days. And sources have described a sense that in previous operations, that the military just runs out of targets to bomb. And alongside that, there is some political pressure or some need to continue the war, to create a victory image for the Israeli public, to work, you know, to apply more pressure. And I think this increasing use of artificial intelligence, this acceleration of target creation, in part is a response to that problem, to running out of targets. And what we know now from sources is that target production using these programs, one of them is called the Gospel, and according to sources, it does facilitate this mass assassination factory that I can get into in a moment. But the rate of creating the targets is now faster than the rate that Israel is able to bomb the targets. And in this target division, according to the army's sources, already 12,000 targets were created during this war in this target division using these artificial intelligence tools, which is too much, two times as many targets as were bombed in the entirety of the 2014 war, which lasted for 51 days.
civilian targets, including private homes, public buildings, infrastructure, are referred to as power targets?
Could you repeat the question, Amy? Sorry.
Can you explain what power targets are, Yuval?
I'm not hearing anything right now.
Okay, listen, we'll go to a break. We'll come back and we'll make sure you can hear us. Yuval Abraham is a journalist based in Jerusalem who writes for 972 Magazine and Local Call. He's just written a piece called A Mass Assassination Factory Inside Israel's Calculated Bombing of Gaza. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Students at the Ramallah Friends School in the occupied West Bank singing a solidarity song for the children of Gaza with their teachers, Safi Awad and Issa Jilda. In just a moment, we'll be speaking with Elizabeth Price, the mother of one of the three Palestinian college students in the United States who was shot in Burlington, Vermont, Saturday night. But right now, we're continuing with Yuval Abraham, journalist based in Jerusalem, who writes for 972 Magazine, his most recent piece, A Mass Assassination Factory. Yuval, explain what a power target is.
Sure. Yes. So power targets is a concept that was developed, according to intelligence sources, in the military first in 2014. And the military defines power targets as residential high-rise buildings. So they have 8 floors, 12 floors, 14 floors. And the official military's claim is that in each of these buildings, there is military target that merits, that legitimizes bombing down the entire building. However, according to three sources in Israeli intelligence that I've spoken with, who have a deep knowledge of this tactic, who have been involved with bombing power targets, they say that the idea of power targets is to purposely attack buildings that have all of these civilian apartments in them in order to put pressure on Palestinian civilian society in Gaza, which is then translated to pressure on Hamas, civilian pressure on Hamas. I've heard this term several times in my conversations with intelligence sources. Now, in 2021, Amy, the Israeli military bombed the El Jala building in Gaza, which, you know, it caused an international uproar because this was a building that hosted the AP, AFP, and Al Jazeera media outlets. It was one out of 9 high rises that were bombed in 2021. I've managed to confirm from sources within Israeli intelligence that this was, in fact, a power target. One source said that there was this idea that if we bomb the high rises, it causes the civilians to feel like Hamas is not sovereign, like they have lost control. One source said that he felt this was a form of a terror tactic. Now, very importantly, the sources that I've spoken with have dealt with these power targets before 2023, before the current Israeli assault in Gaza. So I know less about the specifics of power targets that are currently bombed. However, we do know from official army statements that Israel, during the first 5 days, so up until October 11th and October 12th, has bombed 1,329 power targets. The military said that half of the targets that were bombed were identified as power targets in the military. Now, during these 5 days, we know, of course, that hundreds of children have been killed. We've managed to find indications of these buildings that were bombed without an evacuation protocol. And this is a very important point because, according to sources that I've spoken with, in the past, the internal protocol in the military was that you can only bomb power targets, which are high-rise buildings or governmental buildings inside neighborhoods, after you've evacuated all the families from the building. This was a principle that was in place in 2021, where they bombed nine high-rises, nine power targets, and no civilian Palestinians were killed because they did put in place an evacuation protocol. They call, you know, the guard in the building. It's quite horrific, and you know, there is little missiles. But at the end of the day, the goal was to put pressure on civilians by destroying their apartments, from what I've heard from sources, and not by killing them. Now, I don't know, again, I haven't spoken to sources that have bombed power targets in this operation, but there are clear indications that I am finding in Gaza, for example, the El Muhandisin Tower, which was bombed, on top of all the families inside of it, or Babel Tower or El Taj Tower, that they were bombed while the families were inside. And I think, I'm assuming, since these are high rises and since the military has said that it bombed over 1,000 power targets, that these were power targets. So this is a shift. If the evidence suggests that there is a shift here of not only striking targets that are primarily intended to cause civilian shock or to put civilian pressure on Hamas, again, according to intelligence sources, but apparently, in some of the cases, the evidence suggests that such targets have also led to the killing of families.
I want to turn to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, speaking Thursday at a news conference in Tel Aviv.
Israel has one of the most sophisticated militaries in the world. It is capable of neutralizing the threat posed by Hamas while minimizing harm to innocent men, women, and children. And it has an obligation to do so. The way Israel defends itself matters. It's imperative that Israel act in accordance with international humanitarian law and the laws of war.
So Yuval Abraham, if you can respond to what Blinken's saying, you know, at the beginning after the October 7th attack, President Biden said that the support for Israel was unconditional. They could do anything they wanted. Now, clearly, with massive pushback in the United States, with protests of people all over the country and around the world, you have both Biden and Blinken stepping back and saying you have to protect civilians. One of your sources suggested that the scale of this attack, with an unprecedented number of civilian casualties in Gaza, has to do in part with the Israeli military's wish to redeem itself after the catastrophic failures of October 7th. And now you have this big New York Times expose that Israel clearly knew a year ago the blueprint for this attack. And there are other reports in Haaretz and other places that say, I think they were called the women surveillance soldiers along the Gaza border. I think they're called spotters, were repeatedly telling their supervisors in the last weeks, in the last months, we see this escalation here. It looks like Hamas is about to attack. And they would be told they'd be brought up on insubordination charges if they kept pushing this issue. Yuval.
Yes, Amy, it's very important for me to respond to Blinken's statements. And I think I have three things that I really want to say, and I really want people to listen to them. The first is that the very real war crimes that Hamas has committed, you know, killing people, some of them I knew, massacring people, do not justify Israeli war crimes in Gaza that are being committed. That's number one. Number two, this idea that the military is doing whatever it can to keep civilians in Gaza safe, or that it is using its technology to not harm civilians in Gaza, is false. It's not true. And I know this not only from looking at the catastrophic killing of so many civilians in Gaza, but also by speaking to intelligence sources who have told me that now all of the previous restrictions that were already permissive into harming civilians have been dramatically loosened. For example, one source spoke about how you get sort of this approximation of where a target is, and it's not pinpointed. And yet soldiers will still strike it, knowingly killing families and civilians to save time in getting a more accurate pinpointing of the target. It's very important that people understand that, and this is according to five sources that I've spoken with in Israeli intelligence, in all of the target fires that Israel is bombing right now, the amount of civilians that are likely to be killed is written down. So So again, it's not a mistake, as you've quoted in the beginning of the piece, in the beginning of the narration, Amy. When a child is killed in Gaza, it's because somebody made a decision that this killing was worth it to hit another target. And there are internal regulations that the army has created that regulate this. And so it's very clear to me that after October 7th, there is a total disregard for Palestinian civilian life, even when hitting targets that are